Today's sponsor is Audible.com, who has more than 180,000 audiobooks and spoken word audio products. Get a free audiobook of your choice at www.audibletrial.com/Midwestern. Enjoy the show, folks. And welcome to episode 39 of the Midwestern Social Scientists. This is Keith McIntosh, along with my esteemed colleague,
Dr. Kip Pietrantonio.
We have a special guest for you today. Kip, would you like to do the honors introducing our...
This is our first ever returning guest.
Returning guest.
It is... She's making her second...
Second appearance
on the podcast after... one of our most popular episodes.
Indeed.
And so we decided we got to bring her back. I'd like to introduce who was recently promoted.
Mm-hmm. You have to tell us about that.
The illustrious,
the one and only,
always classy, Kelsey Short.
Hey! Welcome back, Kelsey.
I feel like I should say something really classy. But
just say something very...
I got nothing.
Yeah, you got to say something very deep, very profound.
Uh-huh. I'm very happy to be here.
Yeah,
we're happy to have you. We're pretty much happy to have you. So we thought about doing an episode about a television program that is very much beloved in America.
Yes.
And I think around this great, this the planet of Earth, right? Earth?
Yeah.
Everyone loves South Park?
Yeah.
except
Tom Cruise.
Except for Tom Cruise and
no,
a few
we were actually,
others.
We were just,
Barbra Streisand.
We recently, except the people who've been made fun of on South Park, I guess.
Yeah.
It's the show, the gift that keeps on giving.
Yeah.
I remember South Park was really popular when I was in middle school, which I think was like the sixth grade or so, in the very beginning.
Yeah.
People showed up with t-shirts, and it seemed controversial and like rowdy and obnoxious and vulgar and all this wonderful stuff. And then I finally watched it and realized that it wasn't just about swearing and cursing. It was actually really smart. Mm-hmm. You know, it was really interesting. And there was always a perspective, I think, on the world that South Park gave voice to. That, at least as far as I'm concerned, no one else gave voice to it. And it's just shocking to me that so many years later, it's still on. Kip, do you have any idea, or Kelsey, how long it's been on broadcasting? 15 years or something like that?
Oh, no, it's on its 19th season.
Oh, my God. So one season a year? Can't be that long?
Yeah, 19th season.
God, I'm getting old.
And they have been, there's a total of 265 episodes across 19
seasons.
That's
amazing. It's absolutely amazing.
And since 2000, every episode has been written and produced the week of its broadcast.
That's...
Which was depicted in their documentary, 60 Seconds to Air, which I may or may not have seen.
Yeah.
Have you seen that?
Yeah, it's incredible. Like, it basically shows from, like, they start in the writer's room, and then they, like, talk, and it's just, like, making jokes, and Trey Parker goes back, writes the episode, and goes from there, and it just gets better and better. And they're like, animating it, like, while they're writing it. So they're doing all the different steps to make the show in 1 week.
Was it what you expected?
I don't think I realized like the amount of work it took to make an episode and the amount of stress that they like go through. Cause you know, so much of it is just like funny dick and fart jokes and stuff. And you kind of think that like, you kind of think at this point, Matt and Trey would be like so high up in Comedy Central that they wouldn't really have to like, do, you know, they kind of write the episode, like write an idea down and kind of like they take it away.
Yeah.
But the truth is it's like a really small team of people and they're just like frantically working to make this happen. Like in the writer's room, I think Kelsey, I don't know if you remember, there's like seven people maybe total, you know?
Yeah.
And then basically Trey runs out of the room and starts writing things on a Word document and writes the script for the episode.
Really?
Yeah, and then like as soon as he's done, like they start making the like as he's going actually they start making the episode.
Yeah.
So
was it sort of fun for you to see that too?
Oh, absolutely. I just like it boggles my mind that something will literally happen a week before the episode and then there's an entire episode about it.
Yeah.
I don't think they sleep. Yeah. And there was actually an instance this season where they didn't make the airtime.
Really?
And yeah, and it happens that, you know, they work so hard on an episode and they just aren't able to get it finished in time. Mm-hmm. So they'll run a rerun and then push that episode back to next week. And it's funny because now that, their core viewers know that that's what happened after seeing the 60 Seconds to Air document.
Yeah.
So, you know, Lomas and I are sitting there waiting for the show to start, and it's not a new one.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Well, and the first time that happened, right, like, it was actually because there was, like, that giant power outage in Colorado. Mm-hmm. Or something like that, where they, or wherever, I think it was in Colorado, where they literally, like, their studio had no power. Because I remember there was, like, a tweet that went out of, like, them, sitting in the studio in the black, and they were like, there's nothing we can do, you know, like, this is the first, because it was the first time in, like, 10 or whatever since they started that they didn't get the episode done.
Are they in Colorado still?
I think they are, yeah, because I think at the beginning it shows him, like, walking to the studio at the beginning. So
seems like it's got to be California, I would just assume, but
I thought it was New York.
No. I think the show is animated in Colorado. I'll confirm that in the meantime. So,
AKA Google.
Yep.
Why do you think they insist on making sure that it's so, I guess, timely? Like, there's all this pressure to get the show out every week that they don't have to submit themselves to.
Well, that's what makes the show smart, and that's what makes it timely. And, you know, I was reading an article about this season in particular, where not only are the episodes continuous and building off of each other, which is abnormal for South Park, it's usually like a one and done kind of episode. But it's also very pertinent to our specific time, this year in particular, these events that are happening right now. In that they usually, in the past, they've done a more generic look at things.
Yeah.
And so some people were saying that it's either the best thing or the worst thing to happen for the show, because maybe a couple years in the future, people are going to be watching this season and not really understand or not really get what's going on.
Yeah.
But, like, for us in real time, it's absolutely genius.
It's a really good point, because it does date it in a way.
Mm-hmm.
And if the narrative of the show is completely dependent upon what's going on in the media at the time, and then, like you said, a couple years from now, someone might not even have a clue. I guess that's a bad thing, right? I mean, potentially.
Well, and I even think, like, first of all, it's made in Culver City, California.
Okay.
By the way, so I was totally wrong.
Keith was right. He doesn't even watch the show.
But we actually just, as a group, we just watched an episode.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a part where it's referencing, like, Vin Diesel.
Mm-hmm.
And I will bet that neither one of you know why it was referencing Vin Diesel. Because it was in that week in the news, this, like, fat photo of Vin Diesel came out where he had, like, no abs or anything. And people were like, oh, look how fat he is. And that's why he was in the episode, like, the Safe Space episode.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, that, like, was relevant. But even now, it's been, like, 4 weeks or something. And you guys are like, I don't remember that, you know? Like,
yeah, I did wonder that, actually, watching the episode.
Or Jason Segal. I don't really know.
Steven Segal, right?
I don't know.
That's what I meant to say.
Just because he's overweight.
Yeah, he's overweight. So,
yeah.
Can he live? Yeah. Kim K quote for all of you viewers out there.
But the other thing I think with the whole producing it the week of is it somebody was maybe it was in the article you posted on Facebook, Kelsey. Somebody was saying how it basically creates like a cultural timeline of, like, what's gone on year after year after year, and then how incredibly cool that is, because it captures, like, the spirit of the moment, you know, oh, this was, like, what everybody was thinking when that happened.
Like, it's a time capsule or something?
Yeah. Because if you, like, you know, you make a movie or something, and it's, like, 2 years late, it's, like, you know, it's sort of like the, what was the movie about the, like, the flight that went down? The 9/11 flight, like, the flight,
forget, I want to say
the only airplane movie I know.
Flight 93? Is that what it was?
97, maybe?
97, whatever. I mean, the flight that went down in the middle of Pennsylvania. Yeah. Basically what happened, though, is it's like the movie gets made how many years later, and then they're like, oh, like, we gotta make it into a heroic thing, and if it, let's say the, like, war hadn't been going well, and, you know, maybe that movie looks different, you know, or has a different vibe to it.
I can see that.
So it's, like, shaped by what's happened later versus like South Park is taking exactly the feeling in that moment. And the thing for me that, like, makes South Park the single best show on television is like, it speaks the words that I didn't put together yet, but it's exactly how I feel. Uh-huh. You know what I mean? I think that's, like, how so many people feel with something. It's, like, cathartic to watch. Because mm-hmm. you're, like, in your life, you feel out, you don't realize how many of these little social norms mm-hmm. and, like, these little, like, ways the society shifts you around in the way you think, and then South Park calls them on it.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden you're like, oh, thank you. Like, that's exactly how I feel. Like, yeah. And I feel so cathartic because they say it, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it gets to the point that people expect that from South Park. So nobody gets like, Tom Cruise, I think, was the last person to actually try to sue the show from mm-hmm. the Trapped in the Closet episode, which mm-hmm. was gold. Mm-hmm. By the way, but no, I feel like people just come to expect it from the show, so the people that they could potentially be offending don't really care, because they're almost like, it's not worth it. But mm-hmm. everybody who watches South Park is a dedicated viewer and finds humor in what the viewpoint that they bring.
Yeah,
it really, like, helps you, like, you really get through it, you know?
Yeah, not mm-hmm. for the way too, I guess. I felt that way with The Daily Show sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
That sense of the world is crazy and there are all these events happening that are disturbing and you don't really know how you feel about them. You know, it's like, it seems like it's difficult to digest. And Jon Stewart was always great, I thought, at digesting it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Or even if he couldn't digest it, he could display his problem with it too.
Right.
And then you felt kind of a certain catharsis.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what I think the difference is between The Daily Show and South Park?
What's that?
Is The Daily Show, I am going in, like, not knowing what the news is.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Most of the time, and a lot of people have said this, and it's been polled, too, that basically a lot of people get their news from The Daily Show, or did, I guess, when Jon Stewart hosted it. And I think that's a little different than South Park, where everybody's usually aware of what's going on in South Park. And then you're like, oh, what are they going to say about it?
Yeah.
So I think there's a different level of anticipation
yeah.
when you come in, when The Daily Show, they're like, oh, here's what a Republican said, and here's what's wrong with it.
Mm-hmm.
Versus when I'm going to South Park, I'm like, oh, man, they're going to talk about what that Republican guy said. Like, and I'm, like, getting excited going into the episode.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it's got to be a lot of pressure, though, on those guys to continually deliver that way. I guess they just have that kind of attitude, though. I don't know how to put it into words, but they're so sort of cutting,
mm-hmm.
you know what I mean? And you feel like there's no there are no prisoners. Everyone is, like, potentially going to get downsized or cut in half.
Yeah.
But it makes it so dangerous, I think. You know, it feels like something that really will offend or potentially can offend in a way that I don't think any other television show really has that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, they, I think they're the only, well, not one of the only, obviously, the whole thing happened earlier this year, I think, with, like, the James Franco movie that was, like, offending Kim Jong.
Oh, yeah.
The Interview.
Yeah, but
our very first, a little known fact, Kip and Keith's first episode of Midwestern Social Scientist was about The Interview.
It's true. It's so hard to listen to.
It's a lost episode.
For me. It's not posted, is it?
It is posted.
Oh, it is posted now.
It is posted.
But it's
an
ouch.
It's a lost episode.
Bring it back to its full
glory.
Gotta
delete that, maybe.
Yeah. It's Kip and Keith in their
infancy.
Yeah,
it's fair,
very childlike.
Yeah.
Taking stale,
single
shots of each.
Oh, and
like,
just,
yeah,
just stringing it together.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's amazing even just to go back and watch something from, like, season one and to see how much it's improved, how much it's changed.
Mm-hmm.
Not only, like, the characters' voices have changed, they've really found their groove with every single character, and the animation style in general has changed.
Mm-hmm.
I think that they've stuck with the same kinds of themes throughout
mm-hmm.
the seasons,
mm-hmm.
Of always kind of playing off of those, like, social things that are going on in society
yeah.
currently. But the animation, the difference between it is just unreal.
Staunch.
Yeah.
Do you know, you guys know why South Park looks the way it does? Like, why the characters have round heads?
No, but I think you're going to tell me.
Because it's actually based totally on the Peanuts cartoons. Like Charlie Brown.
Really?
Yeah. Because Trey Parker and Matt Stone said they really loved the Peanuts cartoons when they were kids. And actually, when the Peanuts cartoons came out, they were, like, the South Park of the time because they were super controversial.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was the first time, like, adult themes had been talked about. You know, like, think about Lucy. Like, things we think are kind of silly is, like, Lucy with the psychiatry booth. Yeah. You know what I mean? Or like the football being pulled out like every single time, or like, you know, it was this time where people were being very cruel to like the main character of this cartoon, and that had never happened before.
Yeah.
And so they really liked that. So their first episode, their first show was about Christmas, which was kind of like an ode to, like, they were trying to, like, spoof, like, oh, there's this traditional Peanuts Christmas. We want to do, like, our own and make it, like, darker and, like, more intense. So, like, they did the whole Jesus versus Santa Claus thing. And so, that's why it looks the way it does.
That's really amazing.
Yeah.
I like that a lot.
That's really cool. Yeah.
Isn't there some story where they made it, like, this original, isn't it really short, too, 10 minutes or so?
Yeah, Santa versus Jesus, like, short, yeah.
And was that passed, I feel like I heard a story where that was passed around in Hollywood, pre-internet, so, like, there was some sort of tape.
Like a VHS tape,
Do you know anything about that?
Yeah. So, basically what happened is they made it for, like, they were in, Matt and Trey met, and they were, like, in film school, and they made this, their first movie together was called this, like, it was called Cannibal the Musical. And so they got together and made this, like, movie about being cannibals, and it was like a musical, and it was really, like, it's funny, but it's really, like, poorly done, obviously, like, if you look at it. And so then after that, they were like, oh, we want to make a pilot for an animated show, which leads it right into what Kelsey talked about, where they literally took cardboard, made these, like, peanut-like characters and moved them one frame at a time, took a picture, moved one face, like, one thing, 1 inch, you know, and did it again over and over and over again. And then it was so funny and controversial that, like, VHS tapes of it started going around and around to the point where Matt and Trey actually got copies of it sent to them.
Really?
Like, they're like, have you guys seen this? And they were like, yes, we've seen it. We made it, you know?
Yeah,
like, and so, yeah, it just showed, like, how ridiculous it was. And then finally it ended up in, like, Comedy Central's hands where they were able to, and I believe that George Clooney actually helped, like, finance it to, like, get it started. And, like, he was, like, kind of helped them a little bit. So.
I was going to say, I feel like I heard that it got in his hands at one point, and he helped pass the tape around, at least. I didn't know about the financing. That's pretty cool.
I mean, I know he was for the South Park movie, he was the voice of the doctor.
Really?
In the first South Park.
I think he's one of the voices of, like, with the turkeys. Too,
Thanksgiving.
Yeah, the Thanksgiving episode.
Sounds like a good sport.
He also, though, they also have made fun of him, like in the Smug episode. It's like his acceptance speech. It's like, it was so smug.
Yeah.
Like, it's like floating about around California and stuff. So then eventually he's like coming to Colorado, and so it's funny that they even like skewered him or whatever after all that. So,
well, have you heard how they ended up doing the Canadian characters?
Mm-mm.
Like. So, if you'll notice, if you ever watch South Park, the Canadian characters have all square heads, and their mouths aren't even connected. Their heads just kind of bob back and forth. Yeah. All of the wheels of the tires are just squares, and it's completely just very rudimentary animation style. And the reason for that is because when South Park first came out, there were critics that said, oh, well, it's just poor animation and farting jokes. It's awful.
Yeah.
So then they took it a step further, of course, and made all the Canadians literally not even have heads that connect and just have, like, little beady eyes.
Yeah.
And so it was kind of like a big, like,
it's
screw
pretty
you.
Funny.
Hi, buddy.
Don't call me buddy, guy.
What are their names again? They have
Terrence and Phil.
Terrence and Phil, there we go.
Yeah.
What do you think about the evolution of the animation? Because it looks different now than it used to.
Well, I think at some point they switched from, like, manual either drawing it or using... I mean, they switched to Flash animation, and that's, you know, obviously what they do now, and they use, like, state-of-the-art stuff because they've even, like, they've, like, added 3D elements and everything into it.
Yeah.
So if you watch it, Keith, you actually commented on this when you were watching the, like, one of the latest episodes, that there's, like, a 3D intro now.
Yeah.
Where you actually can, like, see the whole town and, like, where people are and everything, so...
I wondered if maybe the show had changed and it was 3D in that same way, and I just missed it.
No. What I like about South Park is that, though, even though the animation has gotten better, they haven't changed from still the the majority episodes are 1D.
Yeah.
And it's just a very flat... It's still that same style, it's just... connects and flows better.
Why do you think they choose to do that? Because that is, I mean, we live in this age where there's so much sophistication in terms of computer graphics, and yet they obviously willfully have this really simplistic visual language. Is that a strength of the show or a weakness?
You know, I would make the argument that they probably take a little pride in it looking kind of shitty, but I think it's also looks really good. You know what I mean? At the same time, yeah. like there's little things that if you really pay attention to, like, animation, and I watch a lot of, like, animated videos on YouTube and everything, like, there's some stuff that they do that is just amazing. Even, like, even things like how it looks like the camera zooms in on things sometimes, that you realize, like, in animation, like, how incredibly cool that is when, like, something's moving, you know, zooming and moving at the same time. It's, like, pretty incredible when you think about it. So I think it's probably way more sophisticated than we think it is, because you see it, it's just like, oh yeah, like that's what would happen. But if you really like went frame by frame, you'd be like, wait, what the hell, how did they do that, you know? So
but at the same time, to the untrained animation eye like myself, I see it as almost a way that the show kind of shows, like, it's a contrast where they talk about such sophisticated topics with such, I mean, not rudimentary. They've, like, I mean, I shitty. Can't even imagine. Am I allowed to cuss on this? Yeah, I don't know.
It's expected.
It's so hard for me to try to find words to describe about cussing.
I think that's an amazing point, though, Kelsey, for real. Like, I think that, like, the, it's like a contrast, and that's, like, adds to the show, you know? And they sometimes they, like, kind of play with it, you know? Like, they'll put, like, whenever Mel Gibson is on the show, it's always his real head.
You know what I mean? It's like on a cartoon
on a cartoon body. And that, it's like, so they do little things like that, that you're like, that's hilarious. Like, for no reason, you
know? Same with the Saddam Hussein.
Yeah, Saddam Hussein. Mm-hmm. He's always like, it's his real head, like, for whatever reason.
It somehow reminds me of some kind of, like, punk rock ethic where you, maybe you can play your guitar really well, but you just sort of don't give a fuck and you play shitty anyways. Because it's about the, like, the emotion behind it, or it's about the live show, or it's about something else, not necessarily the what's, like, the fidelity or whatever the word, like, the accuracy of the notes. That's the vibe I get from South Park. So it's about the meaning of the show and not it being polished.
Right. Well, and that's where I think it draws its viewership, is that everything on TV nowadays is just kind of the entire irony of this season is that everything on TV has to be so PC, right? It has to be so politically correct. You can't offend anyone. But South Park offends people every day, but nobody really says anything anymore because it's almost expected.
Yeah,
I feel like.
And even I'm so used to it now because I've seen enough episodes. But really, the animation is so simplistic that it's almost as if everything about it is sort of like it's like mocking itself or something. Mm-hmm. You know, you know the people who made it could make it look really accurate in theory, but it's like willfully simple. And it's, so the whole thing is sort of like a joke, even when it's not necessarily explicitly a joke.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I guess maybe they couldn't make it better because, like, they're making it in 6 days. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So part of it is, like, probably, like, it's a necessity, too. I just really, like, thought of that.
You know, I picture them making the very first episode and just kind of knowing it's going to be crappy and being totally okay with that. And there's kind of this fuck you attitude. Like, this is going to be weird, but you're going to like it anyway. It's going to be crappy, but it's going to make you laugh.
Yeah.
And then that just kind of got the ball rolling, and they've kept with that.
The other thing I think that Matt and Trey, like, have that I think I just envy as, like, a human being is they are so grounded in who they are as people that, like, even when culture shifts and moves and gets, like, more ridiculous and stuff, like, they stay, like, centered, you know, in who they are. And so when you, like, watch the episode, you get to know them, you know, through each and every single episode. You kind of understand, like, their worldview. And, like, eventually you can kind of be like, I can kind of see where this is going or what they're going to do here, because this is, like, how they would always view it, you know?
Do you think South Park would work as well if you didn't know who Matt and Trey were, or if it was somehow produced by a team and it was still the same jokes, but there was not that sort of story behind the show?
I don't know. A huge part of that for me is knowing, like, I now know what Matt and what Trey sound like. Mm-hmm. So when, you know, characters that'll just be in for one episode come in, I know that that's Trey, one of Trey's voices.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that kind of has, like, that, like, special, like, oh, I know who's speaking.
Yeah.
Kind of.
Yeah, but I mean, the show did become famous before they were. I mean, it's not like people were like, oh, man, Trey Parker have a new show. It was like the show took off, and then they were kind of like, people retroactively went back and did their movies. Like,
that's a good point.
They made Basketball, and they made Orgasmo, you know?
Well, I mean, and talk about the Book of Mormon for a second.
Yeah, yeah.
How many Tonys did that show win?
All of them.
everything. It picks up everything.
I have people I know named Anthony who now belong to Trey Parker and Matt Stone. Like, all of the Tonys belong to them. Like,
it's just, and I unfortunately was not able to see it, but my whole family went to that. And they said, and my father was raised Mennonite, okay? So, and they thought it was hilarious.
It's coming to Columbus.
You is know? It coming back? Because it was here last year and I wasn't able, or 2 years ago maybe? And
before I was here, because I didn't know that. So it's coming
when
back.
When is it coming?
I can't remember. I'll check it out.
So we're going.
Do another episode on that.
So we're going. It's going to be awesome.
Tell me more about Matt and Trey. I mean, I've heard some stories about them. I don't know their live stories, but I know that at least they went to, is it the Oscars dressed in like Jennifer Lopez?
Yeah, they wore the dress, the green dress.
Green dress. Did they drop acid?
Yeah, they did.
So what was going
on? Sounds like you do know the story.
You know more than
I've heard like the rough outline, but I don't know if you know more about it. But I mean, I guess they just seem like these really wild guys in a way.
So I'll just give a quick rundown on all the stuff like Trey Parker has done. So he did Cannibal the Musical, and then The Spirit of Christmas, which is like the short we talked about earlier. Yeah. Then Orgasmo, then the South Park movie, then That's My Bush, which was a show on South Park about Bush. Comedy Central, which only went for a year. Then Team America.
Oh, which I could do a whole nother show on.
Yeah. and then the Book of Mormon, and then all throughout this it's been South Park. So he was Trey Parker was born in
Colorado.
In Colorado, that's for sure.
They went to high school together.
They did? No, yeah. I thought they went to college together. Oh. I'm wrong on that.
I'm so sorry. Some type of education.
How dare you?
I don't know. I'm not going to dig through all this, but
Didn't they have like an art class together in college? Yeah. They were paired up, maybe?
Yeah. Well, I think they picked each other because they were like, you kind of get it, you know?
Yeah.
So.
And then just made each other laugh, making fart jokes.
Pretty much.
Yeah. What a wild ride from making fart jokes with your buddy in college to becoming multimillionaires. And
I feel like we could do something like this, guys. What do you
want to
do?
Straight to the top. We're going
straight to the top.
Yeah. Well, starting out this podcast. He was born in Conifer, Colorado.
Okay.
The son of an insurance saleswoman, Sharon, and a geologist, Randy Parker.
Hey,
Randy is a geologist in the show. he was a shy child who received decent grades and was involved in honors classes. He idolized Monty Python, which he began watching on television in third grade. His later ventures in animation world would consider influence from Terry Gilliam in sixth grade, and then it goes on and on and on and on. Mm-hmm.
It's interesting.
Big lover of musicals, says too. Gives like all these examples of musicals that
he was super into. I mean, it would make sense because music on South Park is absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
The style that they use always fits directly with whatever episode or the tone and the feel of the episode that they wanted to use. If they want it to sound like shooby-doo-wop kind of thing, it sounds like that. If they want to make a hardcore like rap, they've done that before. And it's everything in between. And they actually have good voices, so they actually like hit the notes, and it's really funny to hear it in like this little kid voice, and it's just.
Well, it's funny how that, I think that kind of became a staple. I think the first time I can think of animation really using music was like the monorail episode of The Simpsons. It was like monorail, 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 and then like the guy comes in, he's like sings a song. It sells. It's supposed to be like a parody of the Music Man.
Okay.
Except instead of selling like musical instruments to the people of the town, it's selling like a monorail and everything. And actually, Conan O'Brien wrote that episode of The Simpsons.
Oh, that's interesting.
And so that was like one of his big launching things. Was like he was the main writer on that one. So anyway, I think that was like the first time. And then now like Family Guy uses tons and tons of music. South Park uses tons and tons of music.
Yeah.
So I don't know where that like. It just seems like it's a staple of animation now.
Yeah, I mean, I like the clash of the sort of how vulgar South Park can be at times with this sort of like glee and joy from musicals. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a certain attitude. You can't be like a badass and sing a musical. Mm-hmm. You have to be like a very, I don't know, you have to be a very nice, like outgoing, joyous human being.
Mm-hmm.
So I always find it kind of funny that in the middle of this really kind of like rough show, they break into song.
Well, and one of their songs was actually nominated for an Oscar.
Really?
Yeah, like during the South Park movie, they had this song called Blame Canada.
Oh, yeah.
And I believe it was actually, he was either nominated for an Oscar or an Emmy, I think. I think it was an Oscar, though, for like best song in a musical.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, so do you feel like the South Park is sort of like the Simpsons for another generation?
Yeah, I do. I think that, I think it's so big, though, at this point. Like, I don't think anybody would have ever predicted it would last this long. You know, I think even, like, after, like, a couple seasons and stuff. Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, it's just changed with the times. And I think in a way that The Simpsons hasn't been able to do.
Yeah.
You know, The Simpsons is great, and I think it's a staple, and it's never going to get canceled, obviously, and it's going to go on forever. But, like, The Simpsons, I don't watch it anymore. I don't know. When's the last time you, like, watched a brand new episode?
No, it's been forever. It's been a long time.
Yeah.
I gotta be honest. I thought The Simpsons had finally ended. Is it still? Are they still making
episodes?
I think
it's still going. Yeah.
I have no idea. But what I do think is great is that, you know, South Park is continuously being compared to other animated shows, right? Like, in the earlier stages, in the earlier seasons. And they did an entire episode called Simpsons Did It.
Mm-hmm.
And the entire episode is based off of, you know, Professor Butter's alter ego, Professor Chaos, is trying to figure out ways to rule the world and, like, destroy the world, right? And he's coming up with all these ideas, and his sidekick's like, Simpsons did it. Yes. But the Simpsons did
Simpsons
it.
Did it.
And it's kind of, and it's a playoff of South Park, the show, doing themes and episodes that are similar to what Simpsons have already done. Mm-hmm. And they kind of acknowledge the Simpsons is like this, you know, they were kind of the first foragers, if you will, into that genre. And the everything, like, Simpsons is a classic.
Yeah.
And they're going to have all of those types of shows. So you can only just try to make it different.
Right.
Yeah.
And they actually, in the Simpsons Did It, I always felt like the Simpsons Did It episode was like basically a conversation that must have gone on in the writer's room.
Yeah.
Like, oh, we should do this. Like, yeah, Simpsons already did that. We can't do it. You know, I bet you that.
Oh,
I almost guarantee
absolutely.
That conversation happened. Yeah, I mean, when you've been on for whatever, 5 bajillion episodes or whatever they have at this point.
I remember seeing that and being really impressed, but kind of thinking that even though it was super clever, they were running out of ideas because The Simpsons had done everything.
Absolutely.
And it's kind of amazing now that the show is been on for how many seasons plus that episode. Like, what season was that episode a part of? It was a long time ago.
Yeah.
7?
Yeah.
8?
So, The Simpsons haven't done it all. I mean, clearly South Park has charted new territory, which is super impressive. In fact, come to think of it, maybe that's part of the reason they insist on being so contemporary and timely, because at least it gives them a niche. They're not dependent on being really creative. I don't, not that they're not creative, they're super creative, but also every week the news provides them with their content.
The other thing that I think that a lot of people don't give props to for South Park along those lines is, like, when you think about, like, great universes of characters, you know, you think of, like, Star Wars.
Yeah.
You know, it's got all these wonderful characters that everybody can identify if they see them, you know.
Yeah.
You know, you see C-3PO, you're like, oh, I know who that is. Like, I affiliate it with, you know, Star Wars right away. Same thing with R2-D2.
Jar Jar Binks.
Jar Jar Binks. A staple of
he's
Star
the worst.
Wars.
It was a joke.
So, and I think, like, you know, same thing with Lord of the Rings. Like, you can think of, like, there's just, Tolkien, like, creates this entire universe.
Yeah.
You know, Star Trek, there's an entire universe across multiple generations. And I think that South Park has done that as well and added so much complexity to characters, you know, in a way that no other show has done. Like, in The Simpsons, like, there's, like, Bumblebee Guy and Comic Book Man, you know what I mean, and all things. And you know these characters, but they're very one-note.
Yeah.
You know, like, they'll do an episode or two occasionally, like, where they kind of focus on them, but they're still, like, they go back to being one-note.
Yeah.
Afterwards, like, they do the same thing. Krusty the Clown, he's, like, the same character over and over again.
Yeah.
But South Park, I feel like the characters have evolved, and, like, things that have happened in the past to them get carried forward into the new episodes, and that's something that I think is really amazing.
I mean, you want to talk about one character, let's talk about Mr. Garrison,
right?
Yeah. Mr. Garrison, who was a straight teacher, and then was gay, and then turned
a woman.
Into a woman,
yeah.
And then was a lesbian woman, and then realized that she likes guys, so then she turned into a straight woman and then decided she wanted to be a man again. And, you know what I mean? And but it just, the thing, and with Mr. Slave, yeah. You know what I mean?
And, so, and has had multiple relationships, like Mr. Hat, Mr. Twig, Mr. Slave. Like, so Caitlyn Jenner is kind of like the current like, yeah, relationship.
But just,
you know?
Yeah, the way that they can take one character and just continue with that kind of storyline, yeah. And you can watch a season and say, oh, I know like which season this is because mm-hmm. this is where around. Mr. or Mrs. Garrison is yeah. in this time.
It's funny, there's like a character arc.
Yes.
You see this transformation. I've got
and it's
honest.
A secondary character, too. Yeah. It's not one of the main ones.
Right, versus, like, you don't see that in other universes where the characters just does their one thing, like, you know.
Yeah.
It serves so. One purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Did that surprise you to see that, like, come about?
I just think it's great writing. You know, yeah. it's not forgetting what your characters have done, not forgetting where your characters are going. Mm-hmm. You know, and they've talked about that a lot, like, in the evolution of the characters. So, like, Butters, who used to be just a complete side character, was, like, in the background, and then evolved and became, like, a main character, and then started developing these dynamics with all these people. So him and Cartman have a dynamic, you mm-hmm. know what I mean? Him and the teachers have, like, a different dynamic. Him and, like, the Stan and Kyle have a dynamic. And as the show progresses, he evolves as a character and gets more depth, and all of a sudden, like, the reason I say it's good writing is because now you can use him more effectively. Mm-hmm. Like, Bumblebee Man on Simpsons, you can only really do one thing with Bumblebee Man. He, like, comes out, acts like a bumblebee, and is funny and speaks in Spanish. Like, that's what he does, yeah, you know? Yeah. There's no other time to really use him, or yeah. a poo, you know? Yeah. Like, he's in the Quickie Mart, you know? Yeah. But now you've got Butters being Professor Chaos, or being, like, the Goody Two-Shoes, or being, like, the resentful, like, toward his parents, like, grounded kid. Like, you've got all these different roles he can play, and then it's easier to write,
yeah.
you know? Because he's like, oh, who could do that? Butters could do that, or Cartman can do that, because Cartman's done this, you
yeah.
know?
Yeah.
So,
who's your favorite character?
Oh my god,
that is way too hard.
I can say that what my favorite, like, a lot of times my favorite characters are, like, based on the voices. So, like, this isn't like a main character, but it's one. It's always like it's like random Hick. Like,
should go down there.
Yeah, so he talks like, I wouldn't go down that road if I were you.
Yeah.
yeah. And it's almost...
cemetery, right?
Yeah, it's like, what you put in the ground isn't what comes out, you know? And it's so funny because it's like, it's kind of like the Terrence and Phillip boys. Like, yeah. Hey, buddy! You know, but yeah. it's like, more, it's got like more of a Hick tat. You know?
Kind of thing. It's not really like a Hick... It's yeah. like a Hick sound. Yeah, somehow it works.
Yeah, well, it reminds me of like how people in like Fargo talked. You know, so like, I don't mean like Fargo like the TV. Like, I literally lived in North Dakota, and people would talk like, "Hey, buddy, I wouldn't do that if I were you. Yeah. I wouldn't stay around here." You know, and then you just add the Terrence and Phillip, and you kind of get like, "Hey, buddy, I wouldn't go up there in the hell if I were you." You know, like. So.
How about you, Kelsey?
Oh my gosh!
Favorite character,
but he doesn't really count as my favorite
it's
character.
It's so hard. I mean. I know that if I ever came in contact with a child in real life that yeah. acted like Cartman, yeah. I would hate him.
Mm-hmm.
But in the show, I find him 100%. Mostly because, amazing, because I feel like I just really like his voice. And
yeah.
I can,
yeah.
You know, he has so many great one-liners
mm-hmm.
that can be used throughout, like, the respect my authority yeah. that, like, went through for a while. And screw you guys, I'm going him. Yeah. I went through for a while. And
yeah. Well, and just, like, the character does the same thing that Lucy in the Peanuts cartoon does.
Mm-hmm.
Like, every time you think he's gonna be, like, finally come around and, like, let poor Charlie Brown, like, kick the football, mm-hmm. he doesn't. Like, he becomes, even when it looks like he's doing something good,
yeah.
it, like, at the end, he's actually rotten. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, one of my favorite episodes is the one about, I don't know what it's called, but where, like, the dog whisperer
yeah.
comes into town and to yeah. help train Cartman.
The episode is called Psst.
Yep. Yeah. You know where Cartman, like, starts to become good, and he is good, and yeah. he's, like, eating healthy, and he's losing weight, yeah. and he's respecting people, yeah. and then their whole, you know, you find out the whole reason behind all of his issues is that his mom,
like, spoils,
you know, spoils him. Yeah.
Because she's lonely. Yeah.
Because she's lonely, yeah. And then at the end of the episode, it's just, like, the... Satanic, what is it? The dun dun
yeah.
dun dun just zooms in on his face.
Yeah.
I think Psycho.
He's probably my favorite episode.
I think Randy's probably my favorite character.
Why Randy?
He drives me nuts. Oh, I'm sorry. God,
he's so funny. Like, he just, like, he plays the, like, typical American who just, like, goes through life and is, like, very reactionary to, like, whatever's going on. So it's like, oh, did you hear, like, alcoholism is a disease now? So he's like, oh, I have a disease. You know, he just, like, totally buys into it,
yeah.
Right? Or, you know, he, like, he has, like, very little insight yeah. for why he does the things he does, you know? And so he just kind of falls into it. So he often is, like, playing the clown.
But he's a nice guy, too.
Yeah, he's nice, but he's, like, he's kind of like a fool. Like, he's like a falls into the problems, and then yeah. like they have to kind of pull him out of it.
Yeah.
And like there's the thing where he's always like, Stan, you know, like, Stan! And that to me is like I need help. Like, pull, like, it's like a society saying, like, pull me out of this, you know, Stan, you know, like,
would you say that the kids are really the adults and the adults are kind of the kids?
Yeah. 100%. Oh yeah, yeah, definitely.
And I think that's another reason that, like, there's South Park differentiates it, because the kids are always, or Stan or Kyle, mm-hmm. usually Stan is the one that has, like, the epiphany at the end, right? That really ties the whole episode together, that we learned a lesson today. Mm-hmm. Here is the lesson. Mm-hmm. And then the grown-ups are off, you know, yeah. waging war, mm-hmm. trying to keep people out of their town because yeah. they might be child molesters. You know what I mean? The parents act like adults, and the kids act the parents act like kids, and the kids act
yeah. like adults. Well, and again, the kids, and I won't even say they act like adults, the kids are just grounded. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? Like, they don't get swayed by mm-hmm. everything. So it's like something new came to town, and everybody gets, like, sucked into it, but they don't. You know? Mm-hmm. So that, to me, it's not so much that they're more mature or anything, they just don't move from their principles or, like, who they are.
Yeah.
And so they're, like, the critical lens. You yeah. know? They're, like, they're the staple. Yeah. You know? Versus everybody else in town is easily swayed. Yeah. You know?
Do you think they're trying to, like, sometimes children in real life do ask questions that are really profound and insightful, and they cut right to the core because they haven't been brainwashed by society yet, and they're not trained to think in a certain mm-hmm. way. Do you feel like South Park, like, capitalizes on that sometimes?
Oh yeah, I think so, for sure.
You think that's
yeah.
where it started in a way?
Like? Yeah, I wish I could, like, cite examples, because that happens, like, all the time. Yeah. I feel like where,
yeah.
you know, where, like, Kyle asks his parents or something. You know?
Why do you think?
I got a good example. Yeah, yeah. There's one episode where Kyle gets, like, a really bad hemorrhoid, right? Yeah. And, like, in that same episode, Cartman wins $1 million, yeah. right? And so Kyle is, like, in, like, the hospital being like, it's not fair. Like, he's, like, a terrible person. And he gets $1 million in his own theme park, and I get a hemorrhoid. Like, well, and then anyway,
there is
so that,
no God. And yeah, so he starts, like, profoundly question.
Well, that's where I'm going. So he ends up, his father's like, well, let me tell you the story of Job.
Yeah.
From the Bible. So the story of Job from the Bible is that, you know, basically the God and the devil are watching Job, and devil is like, the only reason he loves you, like, to God, is because you've given him so much, because he's got, like, a farm, and he's got, like, a bunch of beautiful kids and a beautiful wife and all this. And he's like, if you took that away from him, he, like, wouldn't love you anymore. So God's like, oh yeah, you're on. Like, yeah. So then he, like, kills the, like, wife, kills all the kids. Like, he, like, loses his farm, everything. And at the end, Job is like, still like, I still love you. You know? And Kyle's like, he's like, so does that make you feel better, son? And he's like, no, like, that just makes God sound like an asshole. Like, so he like, destroyed this person's life who he loves, just to prove a point to the devil?
Yeah.
Like, anyway, and then Mr. Brovowski is kind of like, I guess I never thought of it that way.
That's really funny.
Yeah.
So, if South Park was inspired by the Peanuts, I mean, why do you think the Peanuts, why are those children? I wonder what was going on. Who created the Schultz, right?
Schultz, yeah. Howard Schultz. Is it Howard Schultz?
I think
yeah.
that's right. I wonder why he decided to focus on children.
Mm.
If it's that same, like, opportunity to kind of make the world new again, or...
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I mean, with, like, the Peanuts, you have, like, the really, like, depressed character that's Charlie, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's just, it's always, like, down on my luck, and then,
yeah.
you know, it kind of shows, it has all these adult, more adult-like traits
mm-hmm.
in children.
Right.
Yeah.
And so I think that kind of just yeah. plays off. Each other.
Probably part of it, too, is that every adult was once a child, so you can relate to children in a sense. And there was an innocence there, and the world was, you know, very big, but also very small at the same time. So I guess you look at children, when you look at children, you see yourself, but then you also are looking at this thing that's very different from you. And that's kind of an interesting mm-hmm. perspective to take.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think so. I don't know why like Howard chose to focus on children. I just think it was the first time they like really took animation and like added adult themes to it. I mean, the Flintstones did a little bit, but it was the Flintstone was more of like a sitcom, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Where it's like, oh, something happened. Like here's something that happens. Here's the twist. Here's how they resolve it. Like every single episode, you know.
Yeah.
Little known fact, you know that the Flintstones were the first couple to be shown in bed together?
Really?
Like Wilma and Fred. Like they were the ones who broke that television barrier.
I thought that was Lucy.
Mm-mm. No, the Flintstones.
They were in different beds, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, they were.
Yeah, no, Fred and Wilma were the first ones to be shown in bed together.
That's so. Kind of...
Dirty.
Yeah, this is sort of shocking.
Shame on them.
Yeah.
I guess it kind of makes sense, though. If it was an animation, obviously, it's easier to push the boundary if it's... And with South Park.
Mm-hmm.
You could say things and do things in that world because it is fictitious that you could never do with real people.
Well, because you're in complete control, too. Yeah. You know, like, you're not having to convince an actor.
Yeah.
And that's one thing that Matt and Trey have, like, said, that they hate actors, you know? Yeah. That they would never, like, because they don't want to work with actors. That's why they made the puppet movie, you know? Like, yeah. The America was with puppets, because they just think actors are the worst, you know?
Did Isaac Hayes quit because he was a Scientologist?
Yeah.
He did the voice of Chef and was upset?
Yeah. I don't know what happened. I mean, that was what was reported. Yeah. I bet there was, like, more to it than that, you know?
Yeah.
I don't think it was probably, like, purely that, you know? It also was a weird thing, because he was basically the only voice on the show that wasn't... like Matt or Trey, or they have like a couple females who do like the female mm-hmm. voices too,
mm-hmm.
which is like kind of interesting. And so I wonder if, you know, after a while he just like couldn't keep doing it, and you know.
Yeah.
So you don't think it was the Scientology?
I think that was probably the stick that broke the camel's back, you know, kind of thing. I'm just saying I don't know if it was purely that.
Yeah.
It seems like there's probably more complexity to that story than we hear,
yeah.
You know, to quit a show like that, you know, or like maybe Scientology was like, if you don't quit, we're gonna like hurt you, yeah. You know.
Well, I mean, if you think about it, was it the Tom Cruise episode that they were upset about, that he was upset about, or was it the one where Stan becomes the new leader of the Scientology church?
Well, there's two of them. So there's the Trapped in the Closet, which is the one where Mission Impossible 3 was coming out.
Right.
And basically, so, like Viacom, who was like producing the movie,
mm-hmm.
they said, like, Tom Cruise was like, I'm not going to do any promotion for this movie if you don't pull this episode. And so that's kind of what happened in that first episode, because they were like, okay, so then we'll show it once, and then we won't, like, show it again. And then it was, like, not on the internet for a while or anything. Now it's, like, available. And so that was, like, how Tom Cruise kind of held it hostage, which then prompted the episode on Scientology later
so
on.
So that's the one that Chef, or the voice mm-hmm. of Chef.
Where Chef quit, where they did, like, the whole Lord Xenu and, like, the 747s.
But don't worry, they just took sound bites and made him come back as a robot.
Yeah, exactly. So,
yeah. Do you feel like when you meet someone, considering all the, like, everything we've talked about,
mm-hmm.
when you meet somebody and they're really into South Park, but they're a stranger to you, do you kind of feel connected to them?
This happens to me all the time. Not so much that I feel connected to him, but I feel so disconnected from my friends because I have so many references
mm-hmm.
from South Park, and I keep saying them and nobody understands. But it is. It's so true. It's something that I feel like you understand someone on a different level if they get that type
mm-hmm.
of humor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
Do you think it's more of a boy's humor?
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah, and I wonder what that's about, because, like,
I don't know any other girls that like South Park.
Mm-hmm. Because, well, the thing is about it is, like, I teach this little workshop every week, right? And I at one point, I'm talking about, like, anxiety, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I talk about, can anybody think of, like, somebody who's really anxious?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and, like, people shout examples. And I like to think about Tweak from South Park, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's always fun. Like, I give a couple different examples of, like, so, like, everybody can, like, pull an example they can relate to. But, like, it's always funny when I say Tweak from South Park, there's always, like, two guys who are, like... like start laughing and like you know I'm like there's my two South Park guys right
mm-hmm.
there you know
so
it's
funny
mm-hmm.
yeah I never really thought about that
mm-hmm.
I mean, on a superficial level, I get it, because there's so much potty humor and swearing and stuff. I don't know if that would necessarily appeal to women. Not that it would be a huge turnoff either. Mm-hmm. But underneath it, there's all this intelligent, you know, interesting humor. So I could see, like, maybe women really liking it if they, like, took the time, or maybe, mm-hmm. I don't know. Maybe the
I have converted, I think, some folks, both men and women, and I would say I can think of quite a few women who have kind of been like, oh, you should watch South Park, and like got them watching it, and then they, once they got past like the dick and fart humor, got more into it, you know? Yeah.
How about you? When you meet like a stranger and you find out they're a big South Park fan, do you feel like a certain camaraderie?
Yeah, but I think I'm a little bit of a hipster around it too, because I'm kind of like, oh, are you like a cash watcher, or are you like hardcore? Because unless you can like reference every character like I can, like, it's going to be really difficult for us to, like...
Let's say they are hardcore. What happens then?
Well, then, I mean, I can talk about it with them. But, see, it's hard because, like, it's so much of my life doesn't involve talking to people like that, like, outside of Kelsey Short, you know?
Yeah.
I do it again.
Because, like, my life is a world of, like, I'm almost always the youngest one in a room. You know what I mean? Like, because most of the people I work with are much older than me, you know? So it's... I think it's tough for me to, like... be able to connect with people on something like that. Yeah. Or, you know, a lot of things I think I like are kind of atypical like that, so.
Do you feel like, I mean, so you're a counselor for a living, and it's incredibly important for you to be conscientious and sensitive, but South Park is sort of the opposite. It's very much the critic and being willing to be vulgar and, you know, call people out, and it's not necessarily sensitive. Do you ever feel like it's cathartic for you?
Yeah.
Or do you ever feel a tension there between what you learn in one area of your life and then...
No, I think it's more the first, what you said, like, it feels very cathartic, and it feels like, oh, like, and, you know, most of the time, I think the voices on South Park aren't coming from, like, a bigoted place or, like, a hatred place. It's coming from, like, a place of, like, critical ideology, which as, like, a psychologist and, I think, as, like, a person with a degree in sociology, I really connect with. You know, that like, hey, the culture is saying this, and this is what's damaging about that. Mm-hmm. You know, when you censor people, like, because a lot of the episodes revolve around censorship in one way, shape, or form. Like, hey, what it does to the culture is it shuts down this dialogue. Mm-hmm. You know, and to me, that's just as, I mean, a big part of my job is it involves having difficult dialogues with people. You know, things that people usually don't talk about, we talk about. And that's a huge part of what South Park is. You know?
Can I ask you this? Do you think there are ever any instances where it's negative, where South Park does cross a line, or where you feel like they said something that maybe did come across as bigoted?
I know there was an episode which does not air online, where they showed the face of Muhammad. Do you remember this? Mm-hmm. Where it was a big thing, and... there were Islamic extremists or Muslim extremists, I'm not sure the correct term, but that were, like, threatening, you know, terrorist acts against the United States if South Park aired this episode, because Muhammad is, you know, you never show his face. And I understand that, and they had to pull the episode, and the reason for that, or they put, like, a bag over his head.
They put him into a bear suit.
A bear suit? Was
that
it?
Yeah, they had him in a bear costume.
I don't know. I've never been able to. I think they don't have the episode online anymore. And
they had him in a U-Haul trailer for a little while, and then they had him come out, but he was in a bear costume.
But I think...
But it's funny, because in a previous episode, they showed him. So in the Super Best Friends episode, where all, like, the religious figures are superheroes, Muhammad, like, breathes fire. Like, that's, like, his thing. Like, Buddha has a power, Jesus has a power. He's in that episode, and you can watch that episode.
Yeah.
But, nobody cared at that point, you know?
Yeah.
But, I mean, I think that when the whole idea behind the episode was free speech and, you know, freedom of press and things like that. I think that where you're specifically literally poking a bear. See what I did there?
Kelsey Short's joke of the podcast.
That should be my intro.
Yeah, ratings just jumped up. Like,
yeah, that's, I don't know, that's really tough. We were talking about Charlie Hebdo in a previous podcast episode of the cartoons in France that elicited terrorist action, elicited death. South Park really is that show for America. We were kind of indecisive, I think. I don't know. Were we indecisive about whether it was good or bad?
Yeah, but at the same time, like, South Park makes fun of everyone, and I think that that's one of the that's something that's like almost great, like beautiful about the show, yeah. is that it doesn't matter what nationality you are, what religion you are, what ethnicity you are, what socioeconomic class you come from, mm-hmm. they're going to make fun of you regardless.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think that because of that, they've been able to get away more with things that people may find offensive, but it's like, well, they offend everybody. Nobody's mm-hmm. safe, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But see, I think I would add like another piece to that. Like, I don't think that they just offend everybody to offend everybody. I think they offend stupidity. You know, what they perceive as, like, stupidity. Because they're not just, like, going around making, like, racist jokes. Like, oh, isn't that controversial? Yeah. You know, like, almost like I think about Tom Green.
Yeah.
From way back in the day. Like, look how controversial I'm being, you know, kind of thing. Yeah. It's like every time they attack something, it has like a purpose and a meaning, and they're trying to make some kind of a point behind it. And so to me, it's not about it's about offending a specific type of thinking that seems to take hold from time to time in America,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yes, but at the same time, it's still they still don't keep one group safe. Mm-hmm. I would say, you know what I mean, they may try to be making a point, but they still,
they're willing to take it anywhere as long as they think it's a good point. So what happens when South Park does go off the air?
I'll be sad forever.
You know, I think that'll be a show that I'll probably watch throughout my life, you know, go back and watch like season 3, 4, or 5, you know, and just like relive that and remember it and everything. And I bet you people will watch it for like years to come.
It'll be like opening up the time capsule. Yeah. You'll remember what was going on in America the week.
Yeah, I think that it'll probably inspire generations of animators for like a long time in terms of, I think it'll be bizarre in 20 years when we look at like whatever's offensive then,
mm-hmm.
and then look back and are like, wow, like this is like the South Park, like South Park's like tame compared to this, mm-hmm. like, because I'm sure people thought that about everything from their generation, like this is the big thing, you know, and now it's like, oh my god, that's not even remotely controversial.
Yeah.
Do you think there's something else that's coming out that's like more controversial though? Like in our lifetime, you know, it's kind of in South Park. I mean, other than like HBO shows where they show nudity, I can't really think of anything that's a pretty like controversial show.
Game of Thrones, I would say, is pretty controversial in terms of like just brutally killing main characters that like you don't expect, so I think that's pretty brutal. Me and Keith just watched this show called Black Mirror, like episode 1, which is I would say one of the more controversial things I've ever seen in my entire life.
I was squirming in my seat. It was rough. Yeah. It really was.
Yeah, well, if you haven't seen it, we're not going to dive into it on this podcast. But here's
so we're going to watch it after this.
Here's the beginning of it. It's the Prime Minister of the United Kingdom gets a threat of a prince. The princess has been like kidnapped.
Yeah.
And it basically says, if you don't have sexual intercourse with a pig by 4 o'clock on live television by 4 o'clock, she dies. And then the countdown starts.
It's an absurd premise. It seems ridiculous, but the show is actually really well written, and it takes you into this world, and you believe it. You feel
it's
like
completely
this,
earnest. Like they're, it's not a joke. They're not making fun of it, like at all. Like they're like exactly what would really happen in this situation, leading up to like exactly what you think would really happen, and it's crazy.
So on one hand, it's the most humiliating thing you could imagine. On the other hand, someone's life is on the line,
mm-hmm.
and they take this seriously. And it's really tough to watch.
Yeah,
so. But of course, this is very different than
So that's controversial.
It's hard for me to imagine another show in the South Park vein being more cutting or more controversial,
mm-hmm.
because I feel like there is some kind of like glass ceiling or natural endpoint to how cutting any kind of show can be.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's what I think is the difference, though. This isn't just Tom Green putting his ass on things. Like, my bum is on the chair, you know? This is, like, every episode has a point and is violating a new social norm that's coming up.
Yeah.
So to me, you're never going to habituate to the, like, controversy because there's that point that, like, strikes you at a deeper level.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's not just, look how weird I am, look how offensive, look how hurtful I can be, look how inappropriate I can be to, like, a rape victim or something like that. It's like, they're always, like, having this satirical edge to them.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's going to go away. I mean, it clearly hasn't. It's lasted 19 years, you know? That's
true.
So
when it does go off the air and then decades pass, it'll be interesting when we're old to have that as a reference point with other old people. You remember South Park? Remember that show? And then, like, to have that be a sort of barrier between us and younger people. I also wonder if you are younger and you find out about it and you're someone who's inclined to watch these old cartoons, if you would just sit with Google open and you'd have to, like, find, you have to, like, research what was going on in America every week to understand the humor. Mm-hmm. That might be kind of fun, though.
That would be cool.
Yeah. Any final thoughts?
You should use it as a in history class.
Oh, my God. I would love to teach a psychology of, like, South Park class.
No, totally could.
God.
Yeah.
Yeah. They wouldn't even handle it. You know, in high school, I had a teacher named Mrs. Worth, and we were reading Great Expectations.
Yeah.
And there's a South Park episode that is Great Expectations. Yeah. And, like, Pip is in it. Like, there's a character named Pip. Mm-hmm. Who's the kid? And we watched that, and she actually went through the effort of editing out the, like, the swear words. Yeah. And she did it with, like, two VCRs.
Whoa.
Like, so she recorded one, and then, like, every time, like, she, like, muted on one VCR. I don't know how the heck she did it back then. But, like, so every swear word was, like, bleeped out.
Yeah.
But we, like, got to watch the South Park episode of Great Expectations in high school.
That's fantastic.
It was pretty amazing. Cool, like, and I still remember that. It's been, whatever, 12 years, 13 years. Yeah. So.
Yeah.
Anyway, so final point is I love South Park, and people should write into us and tweet us at Midwestern Social Scientists to talk about it, and what's your favorite episode, what's your favorite moment, or get on our Facebook page.
Absolutely. And now we will leave you with the voice of none other than our spectacular guest today. Good night, folks.
Okay, bye! Hey guys, if you enjoyed the show, check out Kip and Keith on Facebook at Midwestern Social Scientists. You can also tweet them at hashtag Midwestern Social Scientists, or you can check out their Podomatic page, which is the first place the episodes get released. Don't miss out. Yeah, just check out their Facebook, okay? Thanks.